Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing coverage of the 2022-2023 preseason. We are doing all kinds of preseason podcasts here. If you look up top on the webpage there, there's a season preview tab. You get the links to all these shows that we're doing. Tonight, this show is the Big 12 preview show. Did I get that right? I think I did. We are doing the Big 12 conference here. Going to take a look at it, give you our picks and predictions for the league, and lots more exciting information about it. A conference that, Griggs, let me ask you this. Conference that has the defending national champion in the Kansas Jayhawks.
It does.
Won the national championship 2 years ago with Baylor.
Yep.
And three tournaments ago, had Texas Tech in the championship game. So
they did.
Three different teams, three straight championship games, two championships. Not a bad little league, huh?
No, and while it is kind of getting a facelift with Texas and Oklahoma departing, they're adding Houston, who has been to a Final Four and an Elite Eight in the last two tournaments, starting off the season, although any preseason basketball poll minus our own is about as worthless as anything in sports, but starting the season ranked third, NBA caliber players, Cincinnati, while they've been on a decline. So this conference, if it's even possible, guys, might be getting even stronger in basketball after realignment.
Right. Well, Texas, Oklahoma right now are still scheduled to be here for two more seasons as well.
Yeah.
And right now the Big 12 isn't letting them out early. We'll see how that things change over the next couple off seasons. But anyhow, why don't we start at the top with the defending national champions? By the way, just for information's sake, we are recording this on the evening of Monday, October 24th, in case any news comes out after this and you're watching. But let's start things off with the defending national champions. And Sleek, let me start with you. The Kansas Jayhawks this year, back-to-back, and then go back to the Final Four. Are they going to win it all again? How good is this team going to be?
It's usually going to be hard for a defending champ to be able to repeat. We saw last year where Baylor, they did get to a number one seed in the regular season following their national title and ended up losing to what had become a red hot North Carolina team. But if you're talking about Kansas right here, you're only going to have one player of note that I could think of that's going to be returning in Jalen Wilson. They are going to have a former Texas Tech player in Kevin McCullough, who's going to be joining the Jayhawks squad this year, but they'll have their usual, blob of recruits that will be able to lean upon. So I wouldn't bet against the Jayhawks, at least making a run into the second weekend. Will they get to the Final Four again? That remains to be seen.
Ty, tell, let me ask you, they opened the season tied for fifth in the AP poll with conference mate Baylor, coincidentally enough. But Agbaji's gone, Braun's gone, McCormick's gone. Is Bill Self just going to reload and be right back there again? You're on mute, though, Tytel, so I don't...
I'm sure this is brilliant stuff, but I can't hear any of it.
Keep it sick. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, doesn't he do that every year? I mean, he does lose a ton, like you said. I think Wilson has the potential to be a first-team all-conference player. Brings in a sharpshooter, freshman, and Grady Dick. So, like, the cupboard isn't totally bare, but they're also going to be the hunter. Excuse me, hunted, not the hunter. And it's a very tough conference, so... 10 years ago, I would say book them to win the conference title because all they did was win conference titles every year. Not sure if this is going to be the same year.
Yeah, but it's and the team that is going to be battling them is the champions from 2 years ago, Dorman, in all likelihood. Again, tied for fifth with the Jayhawks in the preseason AP poll. How about the Baylor Bears this year?
I love this Baylor Bear team. They are absolutely loaded, especially at the guard position. Adam Flagler is coming back. He's a senior. And they got a freshman coming in, two of them actually. Keontae George is another freshman. He's a big kid, and he can really shoot and score. And another guard, LJ Cryer, he's a junior, had a foot injury, I believe, or ankle last year, slowed him down. But everything I'm hearing is he looks really good coming back. And this team is just loaded with guards. I love guards in March, so I love guards in the out-of-conference. If there's one little downfall I would worry about, it would be the front line, the big guys. That's where they're probably a little to be had. But they do bring in Jalen Bridges, a big guy, a transfer from Huggy Bear, from West Virginia. And he'll give them size and strength and toughness down low. So I like this Baylor team to win the Big 12. They are they got a lot of guards.
They got a lot of guards, but Griggs, you know, is that enough to win this conference? Do you need to have some a little more talent down low than this team has?
I do think you need a little more talent down low to win the conference, but this conference is ridiculous. it's not that half the team is going to the NCAA tournament. It's that half of them might get protected seeds, and Baylor is certainly in that realm. When you look at the Big 12 conference tournament, it might stack up with a lot of the regionals or even be harder than some of the regionals with the quality of teams in it. So when I say I don't think Baylor's going to win the league, it's not so much a knock on Baylor as much as it is how good, like, this conference is stupid good this year. Initially about Baylor, this might be a question for Tytel. When is Scott Drew going into the Hall of Fame? Because as good as they – what was it, 50 or 60 years without a tournament appearance before he got there? And they were in as much, it wasn't that they needed to be rebuilt. It's that they needed to first fill in the crater that was Waco, Texas, in the world of basketball when he first got there. Look at what he's done with this. I mean, it would have been absurd. Had you said that this is what was going to happen when he arrived there, you would have been laughed out of the building.
Yes, but on behalf of bracketologists everywhere, this is also Scott Drew, who said he wants 128 teams in the tournament. So I'm going to hold off on his Hall of Fame name.
That's a disqualifier.
Until he gets back to 68.
Yeah.
What he did coming from what Dave Bliss left him, I'm with David. Like, this is one of the most remarkable quick comebacks I've ever seen from the depths of where they were to where they are today, a legitimate top three, top four team in the country. Incredible turnaround, and he deserves all the credit.
19 years he's been there. I don't know about the word quick, but absolutely.
Well, they were good.
Where they came from was ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that they even got to a tournament was kind of crazy at first.
Stalica. How about Chris Beard and the Texas Longhorns? As we mentioned at the top of this show, may not be long for this conference, another year or two here, but Marcus Carr, Timmy Allen are back, but they do lose a lot of players also. And you are now on mute.
You're on mute.
We're doing awesome here tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a professional setup we have right here. I'm sure we've mentioned Carr and Allen. Also, keep in mind, Tyrese Hunter, also transferred from Iowa State, is going to be joining the Longhorns this year. I still think Beard probably could use at least one more year before he gets to his peak right here, whether they're going to be third or possibly fourth behind his old friends at Texas Tech. That remains to be seen. I'll give the Longhorns an edge, at least as far as being the third place team, certainly be in the right place to be a protected seed.
Well, there might be another team we haven't discussed yet that might be in that conversation also. But before we get there,
yeah.
Dorman, let's stick with the Longhorns here for a minute. They are number 12 in the preseason AP poll. I mean, this team, that would project it to a Sweet 16, maybe even shot an Elite Eight if the AP poll means anything, which I don't think it does. But
it doesn't.
It doesn't. I don't hold the poll to mean much, but this team is really talented. They're very, very athletic, and they're going to play defense. They're really going to guard the ball. In this conference, that's going to win some games. If they get hot and they shoot the ball really well, this team can be top one or two in the Big 12.
Tytel, I want to ask you about a team that is everyone's talking about in this conference. They're number 14 in those preseason polls. I've seen them picked as high as third. Should we be talking about Jamie Dixon's Horned Frogs at this point of the show?
Well, after watching them almost upset my Wildcats last March, yep. We absolutely have to, because they bring back so much talent, including the preseason pick for Player of the Year, Mike Miles Jr., scored over 15 a game last year, declared for the draft, came back. He was the only player in the top six in this conference in scoring and assists. And he was the first TCU player to make a conference all-tournament team in 25 years. I know they're not like the name brand of the schools we mentioned, but they're good and they bring back so much talent.
And bring it all back, don't they? Did they lose anybody?
Their top six players are back. So, I mean, it's ridiculous, especially in this day and age of transfers and one-and-dones and NBA draft picks. It's absolutely crazy to have this many players back.
yeah,
at this level of a conference.
It, something Tytel said, this is kind of exciting. While they've been successful under Jamie Dixon and we've seen them make some NCAA tournaments, this is not exactly a blue-blooded history program. I mean, a lot of the times they were just also ran. So to see them this high in the rankings with this much enthusiasm, they're going to be sold out probably all year long. It's always fun for me to see those teams that get into the spotlight that aren't used to being there. So I'm all in on TCU this year.
Griggs, let me stick with you here though. And what about if we head out to West Texas? Stalika mentioned them already. What about the Red Raiders under Mark Adams here in his second year now?
Well, Mark Adams, I was really impressed with him last year. They were very good. He did a fantastic job. This is where I think it really gets challenging. A lot of key players from that team are gone. So what is coming in is basically what he himself is piecing together, not what was left over. I realize that I'm kind of sidestepping your question when you ask me to assess them, but I have more questions than answers about them. If you're asking me to guess, I don't have them in the top half of the conference. I think they're going to struggle to make the NCAA tournament. I'm just not as in on them. I hear some groaning. Some other people might be disagreeing with that, but I'm not there with them, Chad. They have to prove it to me first.
Well, it means newcomers gelling, but dormant. I think Adams proved that he could coach last year, can't he?
And can he put
this group, yeah, this group, is it the talent here for this team to be in the top half of the conference?
He's a phenomenal coach. He really knows what he's doing. But I'm with David. There's too much talent lost here. The Bryson Williams is gone. Terrence Shannon Jr. is gone. I'm with Griggs. This is a and it's, there's nothing wrong with it because it's a really unbelievable conference, but I don't see him being in the top 5-6 when it's all said and done come March. I just think they've lost too much. I'm big on the coach. I'm an Adams fan. Just too many departures for this season.
Well, let me throw one more opinion because Slika, you said they were in your top 3 or 4. So you want to defend the Red Raiders here?
I'm going to defend the Red Raiders more for, I guess, one statistic, and that they were one of the top defensive teams in the country under Mark Adams right here. And I think they were number one, at least in one of the metrics right here. I'm blanking on which one it would be.
Oh, yeah, they were outstanding defensively last year. Really the last three last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Tytel, if we're not going to have Texas Tech in the top half of this conference, who have we failed to mention that will be in the top half?
Oh, I can think of someone.
I can't. I'll let the puppet take that one.
All right, let's let the puppet take that one. Who would you take, puppet?
I was going to save this for my final thought, but they're a bit of a dark horse. I don't think they're going to lose a single conference home game. I don't think they're going to lose at home at all because they have a really loud arena. They have a ton of talent coming back from a team that was very successful last year and that would have absolutely been in the NCAA tournament had they been allowed to be. And it isn't just because, Barry Hinson came on with this. I love the Pokes. I know they're not in the top 25. That almost makes me love them even more. I think they can win this conference.
Yeah, Tytel, I don't think they can win this conference, Griggs. First of all, I think you're crazy on that. I'm going to give you one of these.
However, I'm correct.
As far as the top half of the conference, Tytel, this team, only 15-15 last year, but, you know, especially once the postseason ban was upheld late, they just didn't want to play anymore. Do you think the talent's here for top half of the conference?
They got Avery Anderson III, who's a preseason All Big 12, but frankly, no. I mean, if they win it all, like, I'll give all the credit in the world to the puppet, but they're not going to win it all.
I like this Oklahoma State team, Griggs. I think they are a bubble team that may finish on the good side of the bubble. I don't think you're talking, you know, they win this conference, you're a one seed. I think you're insane at that point.
Yeah, but I think that if Iowa State can do it, so can they. Well, Iowa State didn't win the league, but they were certainly a lot better than what we were expecting.
Well, Dorman, what about the other team over there in Oklahoma? What about Porter Moser's team? Do you like them this year?
No, I do not. I think
okay. I'm trying to find somebody we like here to finish the top half. Go ahead.
I am a huge Porter Moser fan. I love them at Loyola. He's going to do great things in Norman, but it's not going to be this year. They have a lack of talent. They're not real big inside, and they just don't have the scores, I think, to keep up with the other high-flying scoring teams in this conference. I think Oklahoma will have a down year in the Big 12.
So you don't like Grant Shurfield coming over from Nevada here? I think he could see a play. No?
He can play, but he's not going to get enough help from his supporting cast.
Okay. So if we're not going that way, Stalika, should we go to Iowa State?
I think Iowa State, for one of the reasons we mentioned earlier, they're also going to be trying to replace quite a few transfers right here. And as much as I hate to say it, I have to wonder if West Virginia and Bob Huggins might quietly be putting together their own little core of transfers right here. Emmett Matthews Jr.
You just totally hijacked Iowa State into West Virginia. Let's get back to Iowa State. Let's talk West Virginia. So I want you to sell me on West Virginia that I've seen picked 10th in some preseason polls. So go ahead. Sell me on West Virginia.
I think 10th is about what they'll end up.
Don't underestimate Bob Huggins here. I mean, granted, the talent hasn't been quite what it's been in the past. And yes, their best player from a few years ago is now going to be the National Player of the Year at Kentucky. But for the reasons I've mentioned, you look at Matthews and Mitchell, you get Eric Stevenson and Joe Toussaint also transferring in from Iowa. He's putting together a core of players that should, they're not going to break into the top half, but this team could sneak into the bubble of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to defend.
Not a believer.
Right. I'm going to defend.
I'm sorry, Greg. Let me just throw a stat out there that let you talk about them. They were 4-14, and they lost 9 of their top 10 players. Go ahead, Griggs. Do you see what you want to say?
I was going to defend Stalika and disagree with him at the same time. I think this West Virginia team might be a bubble caliber team, but they're not good enough to beat anybody in this league.
Tytel, let's go back to Iowa State. Does this team have a shot at being a bubble team or maybe getting that fifth spot in the conference?
So you're telling me you lose Tyrese Hunter and you bring in, your leading returning scorer, Gabe Kalscher, did not even average double digits last year. Like, I like him, but like, there's just the cupboard's a little bare, no?
Well, we've now just said the cupboard's bare for Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, West Virginia. Tytel, do you have a fifth place team in this conference,
or is it Texas State winning now?
Who by default has moved into that fifth spot?
I think that's a good pick. I mean, like, I understand the Oklahoma State argument, but I love Mark Adams as a coach and as a human being and as like the world's nicest grandfather and everything else. I got to hang out a little with him at the press conferences in San Diego last March and just fell in love with the guy. I know he lost a lot too, but Kevin O'Banner, like, all he does is get double doubles in the NCAA tournament, whether it's Oral Roberts or Texas Tech. And I have no reason to think that he might not do it again this year.
Okay. There is one team we have not mentioned, Dorman. The only new, the new head coach here, Jerome Tang, taking over at K-State. Do you want to make a case that they're the fifth place team because we've tried everybody else and failed at it?
And no. Five
okay,
plus
thank
five,
you.
Maybe.
I love Dorman.
I'm not going to make the case for Kansas State. I would think success would be 7th or 8th at the conference would be a successful season.
I think 10th place of the conference might be a successful season to give how strong this league is, honestly.
Could be.
That is the 10 teams in this conference, though, which, you know, I'll tell you where I'm looking at this conference. I think we have – it's a five-bid league here. I think absolutely Kansas, Baylor, TCU, and Texas are looking at locks. I think Texas Tech is a tournament team. I think there is a big fall down here. I think we may have a few bubble teams like the two Oklahoma teams, but I think there is could be a drop-off after four, definitely after five in this league to the bottom half of the league. But that top five or four or five are so good. But I want to run through and ask that same question to each of you, along with any other final thoughts you have. How many teams are making the tournament? Who's going to win the conference? Any other final thoughts again? And Sleek, why don't I start with you on that?
I'm going to probably say we're going to end up with 7 or 8 Big 12 teams, just because I would expect a lot of teams to run up gaudy records in their out-of-conference schedule. Yes, there's going to be, in all likelihood, 5 teams that are probably going to separate and look like they're going to be playing for at least the second week in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to give Baylor the slightest of edges as far as who wins the regular season title. And are we going for final thoughts right now?
Sure. Go for your final thought as well.
I mean, I know this is sacrilege as a Xavier fan to be saying this, but I think we have to give some credit to Bob Huggins for making the National Basketball Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking about a coach who has had over 900 career wins and is still, I think, about 80 wins from reaching the 1,000 win mark. He is under contract, I think, until 2026 or 27. So there is still a decent chance he could reach that plateau in his career, but hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully we're not going to see seasons like last year where they're only winning four or five games in the conference.
Well, despite what you think, I think we will be seeing that this year from this team. So, Dorman, let me run over to you again. Those same questions: who wins the league? How many bids? Any other final thoughts?
I have the Big 12 receiving five bids this year. I know they've been extremely deep and talented the last two, 3 years, but I think that end comes to an end here, that run. I got five teams in, and my champion is Baylor. I think Baylor is absolutely has a fantastic team. If, like we said before, if they can get some bigs to play defense and get the boards, these guards are fantastic, and they can win the Big 12 title. My team that's on the border here of making it or not, my sixth team, and this will be my final thought, is Texas Tech. We will find out a lot about the Red Raiders the first early in the season. They're in this loaded Maui field. Their first game is against Creighton. So I think we'll know a lot about Texas Tech and what they're up to when they head to Maui. We'll see if they can be a contender in the Big 12.
I tell you, Dorman, my only thought on that is with so many parts coming in, we may not see this team gelling until January or February. So they may get off to that rough non-conference start and then get the success in conference. That's just one thought I have on this Tech team. But
great point.
If they get some wins out of Maui there, this team's going to be really good by the end of the year.
Even if they lose some of those games, they'll be ready for Big 12 play. I always love a hard schedule. When you're ready, when you get the conference, you're ready to roll.
Okay. Let's see here. Tytel.
So I think that I will set the over-under at 5.5 teams, and I will take the under. I understand Stalika's argument for 8, and they could beat up on the lower tier teams and end up with 20 wins. I'm not seeing it as of October. I'm really going to go with TCU to win it all, which is a bit of a dark horse because they never win it and they're playing against the big boys. But like David said, they return everybody to the team and they were this close to beating Arizona last year. Like, I believe in this team. As far as final thoughts, it's been quite a month in the city of brotherly love. We got an undefeated Eagles team. We got an undefeated Penn football team. And of course, the Red October, the Phillies finally did it. Kudos to Chad because he
Bryce Harper's home run. All right, go ahead.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I don't think they are going to win it all, but I also didn't think they'd be here. And if they win one or two in Houston, anything's possible.
They're destined. Yeah.
Team of Destiny. I love that idea. There they are, Red October.
You have to respect what they've done, but I think they take a backseat to Drexel and LaSalle.
Griggs, do you want to finish off the show here with your champion, your number of bids?
Yeah,
You know your champion's Oklahoma State, but how about
I'm sticking with my 50-1 odds. If this were the racetrack, I'd be getting rich because I'd be placing money on them. I'm going with the Pokes. It is an extreme long shot. I like TCU a lot too. I think this league will end up with 6. I think I understand. It seems like that there's a big drop off, like the bottom of the league is a long, long way from the top. But I still think that there's enough good teams that someone will emerge, be it Texas Tech or I don't see it being West Virginia, but I do think they'll get a 6th in. And my final thought, I need my notes here. I know that a lot of people are you know, opposed on principle to these early season exhibition games. A lot of them are hot garbage, and if you look at the first day of the season, it isn't a whole lot better. But this Friday, October 28th, West Virginia hosting Bowling Green at a charity exhibition. The game is on ESPN Plus. I would encourage you, if you watch the game, to donate, even if it's just $5, $10. My thinking is, first, it helps a charity out, but more selfishly for me, the more these charity exhibitions are able to raise, the more teams might be opt to do it. This Saturday, we've got another one on the Longhorn Network, and this is a good one. You really wish these two would play in a regular season game. Arkansas at Texas, a great, great basketball game this Saturday. Again, another charity exhibition, well worth the money. I encourage everybody to watch and donate.
Yeah, I definitely encourage the watching. However, you've got to remember this is preseason. It counts for nothing. No matter what you see here, you see Syracuse lose a game to, what was it, Lemoyne, and then win the national championship the same year. So, on that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us here for the Big 12 podcast. Check out all the preseason content up top here. But on behalf of David Griggs and David Dorman up here, John Sleek and John Titel below, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.